Lord, we pray that you might be present to us, that we might be present to you to see your resurrection in Jesus' name. Amen. It's something of a wonder that the life of Jesus is contained or presented to us not as a treatise, but as a story. That the gospel writers show us the life of Christ by how it intersects with the lives of others. And in this interplay, we get a sense of all the colour and movement and challenge of what faith means, what a life of faith looks like in a challenging and a difficult world. Chapter 20 in John's Gospel is quite remarkable. It begins with a sketch showing us Peter running to the tomb only to discover its emptiness. Shortly afterwards, we see Mary moving from a posture of teary distress to one of taking hold of the risen Lord, falling at his feet in praise and worship. These descriptions of encounter move us to a place of wonder, encouraging us to take hold of God's blessing. Isn't it funny then that so few Christians are encouraged to be like Thomas? No one wants to be like Thomas. Who wants to be characterized by doubt? Who wants to be known as the guy who missed out when Jesus showed up? But perhaps there is more for us to learn by looking at Thomas than we realize. That it's no bad thing for us to be like Thomas. After all, he is the one who sought to see and encounter the risen Christ, not through signs of glory, but through his wounds. I think Thomas is rather relatable for many of us. It's easy to picture the disciples huddled upstairs in a room filled with fear, only to see that Thomas had ventured out. No reason is given for his absence. Indeed, it's only after these events occur that people notice that he's missing. When Jesus came and stood among the disciples, the gospel writer tells us nothing of how Jesus looked or what he was wearing, only that he gained entry to this locked room. Four things stand out in this encounter: what Jesus said, what he did, how his students reacted, and what he then commissioned them to do. Peace be with you, is what Jesus said. In a room that's filled with anxiety and distress and upheaval, Jesus speaks of peace. At one level, this seems like a simple greeting. But at another level, its meaning might be more weighty than we imagine. After all, when people are afraid and anxious, they move so easily into flight or fight mode. When someone is experiencing a racing heart and a whirling mind, the one thing they can't do is listen. They can't absorb anything new, let alone anything that's difficult or complex. That's why when a disaster happens, the first thing you do in a recovery centre is get someone to sit down, have a cup of tea, put a blanket around them. You slow them down so that they might hear something else other than the noise that is filling their head and their heart. Jesus does not enter that room in a display of light or thundering trumpets. What he does is he shows them his wounds. The place where his arms were pierced and his side, which was punctured by a soldier's spear. In some ways, we might think of this as Jesus merely confirming his identity, that it is really him and not some ghost or apparition or even the cherished memory, that it is Jesus in the flesh. Perhaps what's truly surprising and remarkable is not that Jesus returned in human form, but that the wounds he suffered are not removed. By showing them his hands and his side, Jesus demonstrates that these shameful signs of weakness inflicted by domineering others do not mar God's perfection. But rather, these wounds have pride of place in the life of God. The Word that had not merely become flesh and lived among us, showing us grace and truth, had taken on the hurts and the loneliness and the violence that we experience, and takes that up into God's own life, into the very heart of God, so that we might never be truly alone ever again. Having seen and heard this, the disciples do what is perhaps most natural. They rejoiced. It's so easy to skip over this little detail. After all, we are often inclined to think of spirituality as a deadly serious business, something that is intense and requires focus. But all too often, this is to miss the fun and the laughter of it all. The resurrection shows that God would not be contained by human ignorance, violence, or malevolence. And that is a wondrous thing to be celebrated. And if that doesn't make you laugh out loud, I don't know what will. After all this, then Jesus commissions his students, giving them a simple direction and purpose in life. As the Father sent me, so I send you. The disciples at this point might have hoped Jesus might share a little more of his power and majesty with them. But instead, they are to continue the work of Jesus in the manner to which he did it. Not as a conquering general, but as someone who walked through this world on two feet, who brought healing to some and experienced rejection and opposition from many. His wounded hands and side are not a sign of shame, but a reminder of his strength and what he has overcome. The disciples who were once afraid and isolated are now empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit that has empowered and enabled Jesus to do all that he has done. Only this is not a power marked by triumph and power. The Spirit enables them to do one simple thing, to forgive sins. The disciples were not to be a force of might, but to be agents who bring healing and restoration, renewal and reconnection, to restart and to transform lives. That's the power of forgiveness. It's all about transformation. Sadly, so many of us are perhaps more used to shrinking forgiveness to a matter of letting people off the hook. That people that we somehow get to do the worst and walk away, simply being covered by the blood of Jesus. But forgiveness is so much bigger than that. Forgiveness allows people to move from a place of exploitation to a place of mutuality, by discovering that we are people alike. It allows people to move from a place of isolation and fear to a place of honesty and connection, from a place of shame to one of interdependence, from singularity as though we are either good or bad, Jewish or Greek, pure or damned, to something in between, as people who are being saved. After all, this is Christ himself, as someone who is both human and divine, someone who is wounded and yet resurrected. We are drawn into the work of God through forgiveness so that others might be drawn in also. It is through forgiveness that we encounter faith, hope, and love as the very heart of God, aside from which there is nothing else. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, our attention is drawn to what he said and what Jesus did. We are shown a party filled with people who have a new purpose in life. And yet somehow, Thomas missed it all. I wonder if you can imagine how that might have felt. Can you imagine having spent years walking with Jesus, sharing that road and all the worry and uncertainty that came with it, only to have Jesus show up and you weren't around? Not only that, Jesus didn't wait for you. But even worse, none of your friends came out to find you, to bring you in, to share it. Can you imagine how that week must have felt? Seeing your friends so excited, so filled with wonder about how they got to see and hear the risen Lord, how they got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how they got to be commissioned to share in Jesus' work. Did Thomas feel like one of them? Did his absence rule him out? Did he miss the boat? So many of us so easily feel the same way, that someone else gets to have a great experience of God, that someone else has a wonderful testimony, that someone else gets to share in amazing things that God does, and that all we have is an empty space, a sense of what might have been, what could have been. If only we were in the right place at the right time. It's so easy for us to hear Thomas's words as filled with skepticism and disbelief. But I wonder if these are perhaps words that express his hurt, his own wound at being left out, of having missed out upon what others received. Everyone else gets to move on, but Thomas seems to stay behind. A week goes by. Jesus appears once more, and here we see that the one who was left out is now invited in. Where Jesus once spoke to everyone, he now speaks to Thomas. Not harsh words of condemnation, but warm words of invitation. Christ makes himself vulnerable so that Thomas might know God's presence, not through a display of might and power, but through wounds created by betrayal and violence and isolation. The blessing that Jesus pronounces is meant not just for Thomas, but for us all. for every one of us who follows in Thomas' footsteps, because we are not also Rans. We are not second-class disciples. We receive the same Spirit. We too receive the same power of forgiveness. We too have the capacity for transformation. I wish simply that many more disciples sought to be a little more like Thomas. People who stick around. People who don't give up. People who yearn and want to have an experience of God for themselves. Faith, hope, and love grow not from a life that is perfect, but from one where wounds are known and acknowledged and shown. Forgiveness means that we can see our wounds for what they are. Experiences that shape us but which do not define us. They are opportunities through which the resurrection of Christ can and will be known. I wonder what wounds you have suffered in life. What wounds have you tried to cover up and pretend that just aren't there? The wounds of disappointment, the wounds of frustration, the wounds of wanting to have something for yourself. Being like Thomas is an opportunity to look at those wounds, not to give in to despair and walk away when the week feels empty, but to trust that Christ is still with us, that we are blessed, that these wounds that we see in us and around us are not signs of emptiness, but of presence and transformation. Because it is through those wounds that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that by raising him from the dead, God lifts us up to be with him, so that all the things we experience may not limit us, but might be transformed. Because it's in those spaces where forgiveness becomes real, where faith, hope, and love will grow. Amen.